back to the Legal Digest podcast with your host, Natalie. Today, I'm joined by Alexandra Tribe, a specialist international divorce and family lawyer. She advises international families in the UK and British expatriates residing overseas in the Middle East and Kenya. She's also an author and has had numerous articles published with several of the leading publications, Family Law Journal and the Middle Eastern Legal Brief. Today we're going to be talking about international divorces for UK married couples living abroad and sharing some general guidance on this topic. Thanks for joining me today, Alexandra.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
There's probably not one answer to divorce, as every case will be different, but I wanted to talk more generally about the issues that people might face if they're going through a divorce and they live abroad. So taking the example where there's a couple from the UK living abroad, for example, in Dubai, if they decide to get divorced, can they do that from Dubai, and how does it change the divorce process?
Okay, so a couple who were born in England to English parents living in Dubai as expats, they have a couple of choices, actually. They could either decide to divorce through the Dubai courts, or they could divorce through the English courts.
Okay.
Being able to divorce through the English courts depends on them being able to establish jurisdiction for divorce in England.
Right.
Divorce jurisdiction is based on either their habitual residence in England, which is their day-to-day living place, so that doesn't apply, or their domicile. And they can divorce in England if only one of them remains domiciled in England. And generally speaking, if they were born in England and their father was domiciled in England at the time of their birth, they would have a domicile of origin in England. It's quite difficult to lose that English domicile by moving abroad and living as an expat, because generally most of the expats say, we're here for a stint and we're looking forward to moving back at some point in the future. And that, on the whole, means that they're likely to be domiciled still in England and so can divorce in England. And all of our clients, apart from foreign nationals living in the UK, I'd say about 80% of our clients are British people living overseas who want a divorce through the English courts and are able to satisfy that domicile criteria. So divorcing in England then allows you to deal with all the financial side of things through the English courts. And people prefer that on the whole because the English law is more familiar to them. The general approach of sharing assets and maintenance for a spouse and child maintenance, it's more culturally familiar to them often than the laws that apply in the country that they're living. But saying that, lots of Brits living in Dubai do choose to divorce through the Dubai courts. Now, our chat is timely, actually, because 2 days ago, the UAE announced the most tremendous sweeping changes in divorce law for expats, for non-Muslim expats living in the UAE. So prior to that, the Dubai courts would apply the law of the place in which the divorcing couple got married. There were some difficulties doing that, especially with English law, because in England, we rely on statute and case law. So it's quite an onerous task for the Dubai courts to apply it. But things have now changed. The new law says that non-Muslim courts will be set up in all the Emirates in the UAE. Now, we've had a non-Muslim court for divorce set up in Abu Dhabi around 6 months ago, and it's up and running. Our lawyers are representing clients in those Abu Dhabi courts, and Dubai will follow suit. Now, I think this is great for expats because the law that will apply in the non-Muslim court will be culturally more familiar. Assets can be divided, maintenance can be paid post-divorce, and it's a different kind of approach. So we'll have to see how those cases pan out, but it's positive news for expats, giving them a bit more of a choice.
Definitely a positive step, and I guess less complex than previously. But
yeah, and it's in English as well, which is really helpful. Because divorce is scary, and especially in a foreign country, considering Sharia-based rules applying is quite a daunting prospect. So this is a really welcome change.
Yeah, and you touched a little bit on the way that financial assets would be divided. So if the couple had assets in the UK but also in Dubai, how does that work? Do you apply English law to the division of those assets?
Yeah, so the English court would ask both parties to provide financial disclosure of all their assets worldwide. So properties, pensions, savings, investments, bank accounts, everything must be disclosed to the English court. And the English court will then encourage a financial split of all assets and make orders for the split of assets if an agreement can't be reached. So divorcing from overseas through the English courts is pretty much similar to divorcing in the English courts if you lived in England. Generally, the same rules would apply to the split of assets. It's familiar legal system that applies.
Yeah. And then also this year we had changes to divorce laws in England and Wales to allow for no-fault divorce. So has this change had an impact on international divorces? And can you say whether this kind of divorce is common in other jurisdictions?
So I've really welcomed the new no-fault divorce that's come in this year. We've been waiting for it, English lawyers, for a long time, and we're really pleased. It's made such a difference. There's so many things to be resolved in divorce, arrangements for the children and the finances. The last thing that a couple need to be doing is having to worry about the grounds for divorce and mudslinging allegations. I'm so glad all that has gone. The new no-fault divorce system is now progressing smoothly. Everything's gone online with the English court system if it's undefended, which is great. In other jurisdictions, the UAE, I touched on this non-Muslim court in Abu Dhabi. They also have developed the no-fault divorce system. They ac actually managed to pip to the post England by getting in there with the new no-fault divorce system first. That only applies to non-Muslims, and it applies in the new Abu Dhabi non-Muslim court, but that will be rolled out throughout the whole of the UAE. So again, that's really good.
Yeah, really positive change, I think, and cutting down the kind of time that it takes and not having to blame somebody else through that kind of divorce
Exactly.
process. Yeah. And then I suppose just moving on now to children, so that obviously can complicate things a little bit. If one of the parents wants to move back to the UK, but the other wants to stay in Dubai, for example, how does that impact child custody, and would that only be up to the courts?
So that question involves quite a few issues. Child custody, again, we talked at the beginning about the jurisdiction for divorce. We also need to look at the jurisdiction for children matters. So the rules that apply are different to the rules for divorce. Generally speaking, child custody issues would be dealt with by the courts of the place where the child was resident, i.e., Dubai courts, if the child is living in Dubai with their parents. There are exclusions to that. The English court has developed methods to make orders concerning British children living overseas. And there's two different routes to the English courts being able to do that. They're not often used, but they can be really helpful in cases where children are living in countries that apply culturally different rules to child custody. So until recently, the UAE courts would have applied the Sharia-based rules to custody issues, the personal status law, which had quite fixed ideas about children living with a mother until they reach a certain age, and then the father if he applies for custody, and the concept of guardianship. It's a completely different approach to the English courts. So we were advising clients who would rather avoid the UAE culturally different system and assisting them to deal with child custody disputes through the English courts. But recently, with these changes in law in the UAE, the local courts, the non-Muslim courts that are to be set up, will apply a very different approach to child custody. There's going to be a more joint custody approach on divorce, which is the route that the non-Muslim court in Abu Dhabi is using at the moment. So it's all so new, we'll have to see how that rolls out through the whole of the UAE. But I think, again, that's a very positive step. As yet, the relocation of children outside the UAE is tricky. The UAE, as yet, doesn't have a very clear route to parents being able to apply to the local courts for permission to relocate. So those issues have to be agreed through mediation or negotiation, or if possible, through the English courts.
Right, okay. But there's obviously a clear move away from the very traditional way of looking at this, and that's obviously a really good sign for people, especially with lots of expats now moving to Dubai. And I know
and I think it's the balance of the Muslim and non-Muslim cases.
Yeah,
they have made that differentiation to be able to show that they appreciate that non-Muslim expat families really want to resolve their family disputes using a more familiar Western system. So these new laws aim to satisfy that, and it's exciting to see how they'll develop.
Yeah, and I suppose this brings me on to the next question, which is about prenups. So I think these have been more common in the US, but in the UK, I think some couples do enter into them, but it's not clear on whether they're automatically enforceable. So are they automatically enforceable in the UK?
Yeah, so England is very unwilling to produce statutory law that says we'll recognise prenups. And that's because England loves to see people remaining married. And they, you know, to put it into English law that we will anticipate divorce and we will anticipate the financial division on divorce goes against that kind of hope that couples will stay married. But saying that, there were significant developments in the case law relating to prenuptial agreements and their recognition in England around 7-8 years ago. And the case law, a particular case called Radmacher, set out a list of criteria that the English court would take a look at when deciding whether a prenuptial agreement or a nuptial agreement would be enforceable in the English courts. And that those criteria, they look at a list of issues such as, did both parties have independent legal advice? Was there disclosure of assets prior to the divorce? Did the parties enter into, was there disclosure of assets prior to entering into the prenuptial agreement? And was there any duress, or did they enter into the agreement by their free will? Was it undertaken in plenty of time before the marriage, that kind of thing? And if the legal criteria are met, then the English court will place heavy weight on the agreement. But the English court will still retain discretion to be able to make alternative awards should they see that it's important in that case, looking at the available assets and the needs of the parties.
Right.
So people are, we advise lots of clients on prenuptial and nuptial agreements, and they are recognised as a good way of protecting assets, but it's just in a different way to other countries.
Yeah, it's not exactly clear cut by the sounds of it. Depends
on
your circumstances.
It's definitely better if you're protecting assets, it's better to have a prenup than not.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it comes with that advice of they're not 100% binding.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. It was so interesting to talk to you about this.
Oh, it's really lovely to talk to you this morning. Thank you very much for having me
so
on.
So interesting to talk about. I mean, obviously quite a very deep and complex kind of issue, but with lots of different, you know, strands. But yeah, it's really interesting to kind of hear about all these considerations. And there's lots of people that I've met that are living in Mauritius, where I am, and thinking of getting divorced, and that's a whole different jurisdiction as well. So
It's not only the different cultures that come into play, but the different laws, and it makes it an interesting job. I love it, I have to say.
Well, that brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you for joining me today, Alexandra.
Thank you.
Don't forget to leave a rating and a review and subscribe to stay up to date with the latest episodes. If you have any questions about this episode, you can reach out to us by email or on social media.